Glory to God. If there's anything I'm happy about, it's the fact that I'm saved. And this world don't give you much to get excited about. But I feel like when I come to church, I've got a reason to get happy. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to be with you tonight. It's an honor to be here with you. I don't deserve to be preaching. I just as well hear Brother Ken preach or one of the folks that you've got here. But since it is my turn to preach, I guess I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm glad God has allowed me to be a part of the ministry, aren't you? Aren't you glad He let you in on something He's doing? And anything that He's doing is better than what I'm doing. So glory to God, I'm glad I could shift gears one day. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 21. The Bible says this, and verse number 1 we'll begin reading. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel come by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And He called the name of that place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The worst place you want to be is against God and His man. I'm thankful I'm on the winning side tonight, aren't you? There is two sides in this thing, I want you to know. Not all of us are on the same side. But glory to God, 16 years ago in a little jail cell in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, honey, I got on the winning side. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? How crazy does that even sound? For there is no bread, really? Neither is there any water. Don't sound real to me. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Notice this. And the Lord sent. Whoa. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now every one of us tonight that are born again ought to take off running backwards up one of these walls that the Bible says this. And the Lord said unto Moses, He should have said, I just forget about it. Bury him right there where they sit. I've had enough of it. That's what He should have said to me that day in that jail cell. But glory to God, I'm glad He responded differently. He said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone, I like that word, everyone, hallelujah, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You may be seated tonight. I got just a simple little thought tonight, and here it is. Just one look is all it took. Just one look is all it took. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You tonight for another night to glorify Your name. We thank You for what You've done for us, God. We want to look to You tonight, Lord, just for a few moments. I know we're tired after the Thanksgiving holiday, but oh God, I'm so glad Your Spirit can revive the heart of those tonight who are feeling weary, Lord. Help us to worship You for just a moment. Unloose me tonight. Hide me behind Jesus and let Him come forth with an abundance of peace and joy as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Just one look is all it took. My Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." Proverbs 4:23 says, "Out of the heart flows the issues of life." Which tells me, listen to me, whatever comes in through here is eventually going to work its way down into here. And once it gets down in here, it's going to work its way out in our lives. Now, I preach in prisons and halfway houses and all that. I preach to folks who are on the other end of their mistake. And I look into the eyes of folks who thought it was greener on the other side. And what I'm preaching to them about is what their looking has done and what they are missing out on as a result of their sin. But then I come into a place like this where young people are being raised up in church and being taught the Bible and read the Scripture, and they have a mother and father that are bringing, they have a pastor, and something inside of them is looking out there on this side of their mistake, and what they're seeing is something they think is so glorious. What I want to say to you tonight, it's not greener on the other side. One look is all it took. Mine eye affecteth my heart, and out of the heart flows the issues of life. I better be careful what I'm looking at. You better be careful what you're looking at. I thought about this places in the Bible in which, as an introduction, as I looked at this, places in which one look changed everything. Changed everything. I thought about Lot's wife. You know her story as she's down in Sodom. The Lord sent some angels down there to get them up out of there. And in Genesis 19:17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth," talking about Lot and his wife and his children, "when they brought them forth abroad, he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape thou into the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And I'm so saddened by the next verse. It says, "But his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." Lot's wife could not let the thought escape from her mind that there was something back there that God had just saved her out of and rescued her out of. That there was something back there worth taking one more look at. And it destroyed her very future. And can I say to you tonight, child of God, that has been saved out of the drunkenness, has been saved out of the drugs, has been saved out of the life of crime, hey, or you've been saved out of self-righteousness and all that mess, I want to say to you, there's nothing back there worth looking at. It's all vanity of vanities, my friend. It will, one look is all it took for her to be utterly destroyed. God said in Luke 9:62, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I've seen some folks that have looked back, and I've seen a few get buried as a result of it. But again, I think about David and his look over there on that rooftop of the king's house. The Bible said it was a time when kings went to war. He's in a place where he ain't even supposed to be. And the Bible said it came to pass in the evening tide that David rose off his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw one look. A woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Hey, that's all it took. You know the story. He gets her pregnant. He tries to cover it up. When he can't, he has a good man. Listen, a good man, Uriah, murdered. And the Bible said the sword never left his house. What a scary statement that is made right there. But I'm telling you, it all got started with just one look. That's all it took for David. Hey, can I say to you, keep your eyes where they belong. Don't let the devil try to convince you that that's yours over there and that's yours over there, honey. What he has given you is good enough for you. How do you know? Because when God gives it to you, it's good enough. It's yours. It reminds me of James chapter 1 and 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, you understand it's the then part that scares me. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, when that joker gets finished with your life, it's only got one intention. Hear me tonight. It bringeth forth death. That's its intention. Listen to me tonight. It has one goal and one goal in mind for you, honey, and that is death. One look is all it took for David. I thought about that man over there in them tombs. You know, the maniac of Gadara. It was said of him that he was lived in those tombs, was naked and all that. And just seemed to me that nothing scared his demons. I thought about that. I mean, the darkness doesn't scare the demons. The cutting and the whacking of himself don't scare the demons. The chains and fetters, none of that stuff scares him. Nothing. But the Bible says this, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. Those old demons, honey, took one look at Jesus, and they were terrified. Ain't you glad about that tonight? I remember as a kid picking up some demons along the way. Oh, from a young boy, I can remember them now. And I'm telling you, nothing, Brother Ken, seemed to bother those old demons. Nothing scared them. My drunken daddy didn't run them off. His crazy acts of chaos never drove them off. That drug-infested street I grew up in, that never scared not one of them. I'm talking about carrying caskets all through my childhood. Never bothered a one of them. 5 years in federal prison and all that mess and AA, NA and all that garbage. Hey, not one of my demons ever shivered in fear at none of that. But can I say to you tonight, when that young Mexican boy stepped into my presence, honey, with Jesus all over him, I felt something for the first time well up in me. It was those demons shaking in fear saying, I know who that is. Hallelujah tonight. You've got some demons that you've been trying to get rid of. Hey, quit running all over town, honey. Let them get a good look at Jesus tonight. And just watch them flee. Hallelujah. Just one look is all it took. I think about John the Baptist. When he looked at Jesus, I'm telling you, gave us the blessed words. Behold! Behold! Looky there, boys! The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. One look was all it took. What about Peter over there when he's around that fire, broken down and fearful and frightened and just frail as can be? And he's denied Christ 3 times. And he looks up and Jesus is staring right at him. Just one look. Bible said he went away crying bitterly. Just one look is all. I'm trying to just get you prepared tonight. Listen to me. It don't take a whole lot of looking for things to change, honey. One look in our text. And I want to point out just a few things quickly. In which one look is all it took First of all, I want to say this. Just one look is all it took to see what sin had done around them. I'm talking about an outward look. An outward look tonight. One outward look is all it took to see what sin had done around them. Now we know that this chapter is a chapter that deals with sin. And it deals with the Savior. And we know in verse 4, the Bible says that they were much discouraged because of the way. And then in verse 5, they sinned against God because of that. Now listen to me, I know much preaching has been done about them being discouraged because of the way. But God has shown me a little deeper insight as to why they have sinned against God. Not just once, but multiple times. This is at least the 12th time that they have spoken and murmured and complained against God. Now let me say, this is the way that God has ordained for them to be at this point. But this was not God's way. His way was back in chapter 13 and 14 when He told them, get across to the other side and get into that promised land. That was His way. But they chose their own way. And that's why they're in the predicament that they're in. And so here we find them discouraged. But I think God showed me some insight as to why they had sinned. Romans 1:21 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. These people have been unthankful from the very beginning. I mean, when I read the beginning of this chapter, where it says the Arad, the Canaanite, hear them come by the way, and he fought against them and take some of their family prisoners. Verse 3 says that the Lord hearkens up to their prayer and delivers up the Canaanites and utterly destroys them. But in between verse 3, where God delivers them, and verse 4, where they are discouraged, do you notice that there is nothing recorded where they stop and give God the glory for all that He had just done? There's nothing recorded. There's no altar being built. There's no prayer meeting. There's no thankfulness being talked about. Nothing has been said between deliverance and discouragement about how much God has been good to them. But this is the way it has been with this generation from the very beginning. When the lamb was slain and the blood was added to the doorpost, and they're saved, and it's all peace and quiet over at the house of the Israelites, but it's mayhem and death over in Egypt. We don't find the next morning where they're thankful for none of that. So what happens when they get to the Red Sea? They murmur and mock God. They're unthankful, and so their hearts are darkened, and they begin to have vain imaginations. They say, you brought us out here to kill us. God hadn't brought them out there to kill them. That's nonsense. Do they forget that it was them who cried out to God in the first place? This is an unthankful people. When they come to the bitter waters of Marah, and He cuts the tree down and throws it in and gives them drink, no mention of thankfulness. No mention of glorifying God. When they need the food and He sends them manna in the morning and meat in the evening. Brother Ken, I search. Nowhere do they stop and thank God or give Him the glory. Do you realize that it's so often the only reason that they have not been consumed yet is because there is a man named Moses that is standing in the gap between utter annihilation and God. But not once do they ever stop and say, Moses, I just want you to know, you have sacrificed so much for me. Thank you so much. At one point he tells God, forgive them or else blot me out of your book. And yet, no thankfulness. That's what thankfulness, unthankfulness does. It causes such crazy imaginations. And you know how it is. It doesn't matter if it's a child, a husband, a wife, an employee, a church member, honey, a missionary, across the board. When you find someone that is unthankful, you'll find their imaginations running completely wild. The Bible said that, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread. Where's the manna you've been eating every day? Neither is there any water. Where's all the water? You've been drinking water all the time. And our soul loatheth this light bread." Now that's the sin that has broke out in the camp. I believe it is the sin of unthankfulness. You better look at your wife tonight and be thankful for her, husbands. You better look at your husbands tonight and be thankful for them, ladies. Children, you better look at your mother and father and be thankful for them tonight. Because if you won't be, the devil will convince you that that woman up the road would be a much better wife for you. That man up the road would be a much better husband for you. The devil would love to destroy you tonight because of that. Now, with that in mind, can you imagine the chaos that this sin has brought to the camp? I thought about this. I mean, people are dying everywhere. They just take one look this direction, brother, and people are dying. One look in that direction, people are dying. I mean, folks are dying everywhere. Children, I thought about this, are being left without a mother and a father. I see it all the time. I mean, they're just roaming around the camp. Mom and dad been snake bit. They're both dead. Now what do I do? They're being left without. So much sorrow and struggle can be found everywhere they look. Hey, the painfulness of sin is so hard. It is so wicked. It's ugly. And you can find it in the camp. Everywhere you look. Just one look is all it took. And I thought about this. It would have been a blessing, Brother Ken, if them snakes would have bit them and they'd have just fell over dead right there where they were. But that's not what happens, and that's the way sin will get you. It doesn't just bite you, Brother Mike, and then you fall over dead. It's a slow, painful, agonizing death. Hear me tonight. They're bit, and day one, maybe they just got a little red mark swell up on their arm. And boy, they think they're all right still. I'll make it through this. Don't you worry. I got this handled. Oh, but little do they know that poison is building inside of them and it's going to come to a screeching halt just momentarily. I did a little reading on the Egyptian cobra that it is said that is probably the ones that bit them. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what some research has told me. And I read how when that snake bites you, Brother Mike, it is the most painful thing that begins to happen. You begin to shut down. Your insides begin to shut down. And your blood starts to clot from the inside. And nothing can move. No oxygen can move. So you begin to suffocate on your own blood and on your own those things in your body. I don't want to be too critical tonight. I know there's children in here. But I want you to know this sinful bite from this poisonous snake slowly and painfully kills you. You don't just fall over dead, honey. They're seeing that, Brother Kim, when they look that way, that's all they see. Snakes have been turned loose. Mothers and fathers are dying. They're crying out over here. They're crying out over here. They're crying out over there. Let me ask you something, honey. Won't you take one look around and tell me what has sin done around you tonight? An outward look. Now, I don't know if you get to see what I get to see all the way in Cleveland, Ohio, but I'm hard-pressed to believe that there's some sinners right here in Bowden, Georgia that you've been able to witness. That you've been able to witness children being torn from mothers and fathers. Folks getting on that heroin junk and dying and children being scattered. Death and painfulness everywhere. You know how it is. It destroys every good thing in their lives. Just one look, Brother Ken, is all it took. I don't have to look very hard to see what sin is doing around me. But next I want to say this. Just one look is all it took to see what sin was doing to them. not an outward look, but I'm talking about an inner look. An inner look. And isn't it always easier to look around at how sin is destroying everyone else and talk about how bad their situation is and what they did and how messed up they are. But oh, I want to say this. If we'll just get in a good old-fashioned mirror and begin to stare into that thing and see what sin has been doing to us, we'll see that we're probably just as bad off as they are. Hey, the Israelites realize this. That's why they're going to Moses to repent. Spurgeon said this, "If any man think ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are far worse than he thinks you to be." Oh, how truthful that is for me tonight. That may not affect your heart. But boy, if you knew me like I knew me, you'd swear up and down that I'm a lot worse than what I think I am. But Israelites realize this. Don't you know that that's what forces them, Brother Ken, to go to Moses? It's not because the snake bit you. But when I see the effects of how the snake acted upon you and affected you, and then I look down and I see a couple of fang marks in my own body, and I have to think back just a couple of seconds where I seen you rolling in agony and your children crying and screaming all over the place and sin has destroyed you. That's when I realize I better get this thing fixed. They go to Moses. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse 4 through 7. Notice this. It's not an outward look, but an inward look. The Bible says this, "And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom." Notice this. "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Verse 5, "And the people spoke against Moses." And verse 6, "And much people of Israel died." Verse 7, therefore, these people must have got it. They must have said, "I'm going to have the same fate everybody else is having." "Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.'" And Moses prayed for the people. Can I say to you tonight, let I tell you nay, Jesus said, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Do you know it's not the snake that bites you, Brother Mike, that's going to kill me, but the one that bit me? It's the sin in me that's going to kill me, not in you. And boy, I'm telling you, going into these prisons and into these halfway houses and hearing the testimonies of folks that sat on a church pew one week and the next week that serpent come along and with a little bit of lust in their heart and a little bit of trouble at home and a little bit of agony from the kids and all of a sudden they get discouraged and they allow lust to take them somewhere that they never thought it could be taken. And I want to say to them, sir, did you not look around? Did you not look around to see what was going to happen to you if you did that? I think the only reason us church folk can run out there into the world and dig ourselves into a pit, honey, is because we're not looking around at what it can do to us. What are we thinking? What are we looking at? Boy, I want to say to you tonight, if you're on the very edge of letting the serpent bite you tonight, would you do yourself a big favor, honey? Would you look around and see what sin has done around you? Around you. Boy, I'd like to take you with me for about a month and let me show you some of the families that are torn, honey. Some of the children that are torn. Families that are broken, wives at home alone now, and husbands torn and stripped because of one look at sin has snagged them up and put them in a clamp that they'll never, ever return from. The other day I met a man in a halfway house. Same type of situation. Good old boy. Thought he had it made. Stepped out of the home one day. Got into some wrong people. Shot a big old load of heroin. I say a big old load. It probably wasn't big. It probably was pretty small. He probably thought he was being careful as he loaded up, took that little dose. Just like that, that man fell out and died. Gone. I'm talking about dead. Hear me tonight. Just dead. Now, don't think he's the wicked one because it's drugs, because it's something else for me. It's something else for you. It's pride for you. You're about to get a shot of pride, a shot of self-righteousness, a shot of some anger, a shot of meanness in your household, a shot of all that. But he took that shot, and would you just know, as he laid there dead, a man come along, just happened to have a needle full of that Narcan they've been saving folks' lives with. And that man pulled that needle out, sister, and reached over and plunged it into that man's arm, squeezed the trigger, and just a couple seconds later, back to life. Back to life. And it was sitting on the pew just a couple weeks ago before I came here. Got to preach to him, and he got born again, got saved, and now he's a child of God. But can I tell you, that was the grace of God giving him one more chance. Sir, look around you. Look around you. What's going to happen to you if you try to do it again? I say to you tonight, that was God's mercy in his life. But for every one that I hear comes back to life, I hear of 10 more that didn't. I hear of 10 more. For every husband and wife I find that gets back together after this poison has run through their veins, I hear of 10 more that don't get back together. For every child that ends back up in the home of the two parents after one of them with lust in their heart gets out into that world, honey, and destroys their home, every one I hear get back together, I hear of 15, 20 more that never recoup from it. And now the children are running around thinking, where do I go from here? Just spinning in circles, honey, out there in Never Never Land in this world. I'm going to tell you tonight. Listen to me. Just one look is all it took to see what sin had done around them. An outward look. Just one look is all it took to see what sin had done in them. An inner look. Are you looking inward tonight? I know it's easy to look at your neighbor tonight. Look across over there. And honey, you look across over there. It's real easy to do that. But you're not going to get any help if you do that. But lastly, I want to say this. Just one look, thank God, is all it took to see what the Savior had done for them. I'm talking about an upper look. Hallelujah. The Bible said Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Glory to God, he didn't say, if you look 103 times, you'll live. Get around there. Do you know some folks didn't have 103 times to make it? It was they were barely got to the pole before they looked up or they were going to die. They didn't have time for 103 looks. Hallelujah. He didn't say if you could stand and stare at that pole for 27 hours without blinking, then you'll be saved. Hallelujah. He made it very easy. He said, just behold, just look by faith, and you will live. He didn't say, glory to God, you had to be from a certain tribe. He didn't say, if you're a Benjaminite, you've lucked out, honey, you can live. No, he said, any man. Brother Ken, thank God tonight. He didn't say, if you had this one certain kind of sin that just disqualified you, you'll not live. I don't care how many times you look. I'm thankful tonight I've got an almighty whosoever will God. I was disqualified so bad it ain't even funny, but I'm glad when that Mexican looked at me that day in that cell, he never asked me what I was in there for. Glory to God, that makes me happy tonight. If you'd have known who I was, boy, you'd have said, you don't deserve it, and you'd have been right. But if you think you're somebody tonight, you have disqualified yourself. He said, whosoever will, you just get on in here and look, and you will live. It didn't matter what kind of sin it was. It didn't matter how many times you've sinned. I'm sure not everybody is on their 12th murmur. I'm glad not everyone was on their 12th time they've disobeyed, but most of them were. I'm glad it didn't disqualify the ones who has been rebellious since day one. They could also live. Hallelujah. Hey, let me just say this. The serpent was a symbol and a picture of sin. The brass was a symbol and a picture of divine judgment. And Moses was saying, God has judged your sin and has given you the way to live. He didn't say it was a way. He didn't say, Moses, make two or three poles. He didn't say, get you a whole bunch of serpent heads and throw them out there. Just make them all available, honey. He said, make one pole and suspend it between heaven and earth. And if you'll look at that pole, you will live. I don't care if you make your own serpent and your own pole. It ain't going to do you no good. That's what religions are doing all across the country. They're making their own serpent, honey. They're getting their own pole. And they're throwing it up in the air. And can I tell you, they're all coming to death when it's all said and done. Hallelujah. I'm glad he got the right pole. Hey, just one. It didn't take two. Let me say this to you tonight. If you or your wife or your children are going to make it and you're going to live, you're going to have to do it this way. One way. Jesus said, I am the way. Hallelujah. One pole. Let me just say this and I'm closing tonight. Thank God. Glory to God. Just one look is all it took. Hallelujah. To see what sin had done around them. Boy, listen to me tonight, young people. God, listen to me. So many 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 year olds. You think this thing is only happening to adults? You're crazy. It's happening. I see 17 year olds with needle tracks up their arms. 18 year olds already died twice and brought back to life. It's happening across the board. Young person, every time you want to stick a cigarette in your mouth, go up to the cancer unit of the hospital and look around you and see if that's what you want your end to be. Husbands and wives, look around you. I know the devil tempts you and thinks makes you think that it's greener over at so-and-so's house. And boy, they're just so much happier over at so. It's a lie straight out of hell. I'm married today because I want to be married. I'm married today because God gave me a good wife. You think He hadn't tempted me with that mess? He sure has. But the thing that prevents all that is when I get to looking around, honey, at what takes place when the heart of that wicked man goes out and does some crazy things. I get to look and see what's going on, what happens to them poor children, what happens to... And I say, you know, I don't want that outcome. What's happening around you? Sinner, what's happening in you tonight? You've stumbled in here and you ain't saved. Let me tell you, there's coming a day when judgment will fall on you, my friend, on you. And it'll be too late then. You better look inward tonight and see what sin has done to you so far. Yeah, hey, just ask me. I'll tell you what it has done. But thank God one look is all it took to see what the Savior had done for them. Isn't that a blessing to know tonight? No matter what you have done, that we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. And He has promised that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, you don't have to bring an offering tonight. You say, I ain't got no money. You don't need none. Salvation is free. For whosoever will, just come on by faith, repent and get saved. Hey, child of God, come on and repent tonight and get right with the Lord before it's too late. Listen to me. When they looked up, three things happened. First of all, sin was pardoned. Hallelujah. They were forgiven when they looked at the serpent. Repentance took place. He put the sin on the serpent. And when they looked by faith, they were forgiven. Hallelujah. But not only sin was pardoned, death was prevented. The Bible said when they looked, they lived. Listen to me tonight. Don't you want your marriage to live? Don't you want your relationships to live? Don't you want to have eternal life, lost person? Sin was pardoned. Death was prevented. Advancement was permitted. Verse 10 says, they set forward. Hallelujah. If I'm happy about any of this tonight, listen to me, Brother Ken. I'm so thankful that when God saved me and redeemed me out of that hellious lifestyle, that I didn't have to stay stuck in that old miry clay that I was once in. He said, boy, it's time to get up and go forward. He permitted me to pick up where I was and go forward. Can I say to you tonight, you've made a couple of bad choices. Oh, I want to say to you, if you're going to live and get through it, you better look at Jesus tonight. But if you would hear me tonight, you don't have to stay in that mess that you're in right now. You can pick up and head out that door tonight, permitted to go forward. Hallelujah. And then lastly, the remedy pointed. John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? Because if you whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible is pretty clear that, honey, if you'll take one look at Jesus, you can live tonight. You can be forgiven tonight. Hey, you can be redeemed tonight. Glory to God. I'm glad one day He came by my way. Let me understand that if you'll just look, boy, you don't have to stay here. You can keep on going for God. Hallelujah. Brother Ken, you come.